Welcome to yet another episode of the African Football Unfiltered podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. In my presence is a very, in my opinion, is a very underrated coach. He's coached some of the biggest teams in the country. Actually, not some of the biggest teams in the country. Well, in the country as well, but on the continent. I don't want to limit his scope, you know. He's coached the likes of AmaZulu, SuperSport, Black Leopards. But on a bigger scale, he's been at Al Ahly and Kaizer Chiefs as well. So he's been kind enough to bless us with his presence, and for that I'm grateful. But without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's guest, Mr. Kevin Johnson. How are you doing today, sir?
Well, fine, Kamohelo. Thank you for having me on your show. And we hope you're able to do justice to the questions you ask. And thank you for the nice intro.
Of course, it's always a pleasure. I mean, you're an esteemed person. Sometimes I feel like you don't get the recognition you deserve. I don't know how you feel about that. You're not too joined on. But yeah, you know, I just like to get straight into it. You know, we'll start at the most recent job you're at, or rather the most recent club you're at Kaizer Chiefs. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about the coach that's there now and the players that he's utilizing and how he's utilizing them. But these young players that are prominent now at Kaizer Chiefs, they were given their start by you, you know. So I'd just like to pick your brain about how, you know, about specifically Duba, Vilagazi and Shabalala. How good can they be and how far do you think they can go? And what are the things that maybe you think they need for them to reach the heights you think they can reach?
Look, I think if I take them all into consideration and thinking that, yeah, Duba was there when I was there for the little short while I was there. So was Shaba. He was playing in and out. Duba had one game before me or something like that. But the big one was Mfundo. I gave him his first run out. But in saying that, if you have to analyze them all three, like Duba, I think he needs a bit more technical work on his first touch, especially the position he plays. He's up front, and you up front, all three of them should know that the minute you play up front, there's always someone on you. There's always someone going to be kicking you or something like that. So I think he has to work on his character first, because I find in some moments he's a little bit too aggressive for no reason. So he's got to think of the game in the game all the time, and he's got to learn that. Yes, his first touch, he scored a beautiful goal for me against Polokwane City, I think, in Polokwane. He just came on, his second touch, he scored a goal. So those are moments that he's got to build on and make that a lot more positive in his game. So I see that as one of his flaws, and what he does, not on the training pitch, but outside of the training pitch, on his own, how he improves. And you've got to work 24 hours as a football player, I think, if you want to play for Kaizer Chiefs. You can't work 1.5 hours with the coach and not do anything afterwards. And I'm not saying going to the gym, going to the run and things like that. No, you've got to work on your technique big time. Shaba is clever. Shaba can play all three lines, all four lines. He can play as a winger, right wing, left wing, as a false nine, and he can play as a 10. He's got the audacity, he's got the tenacity. He needs to, again, like Dubai say, has to work on his first touch and how he opens up his body, how he gets himself into good spaces. That's what Shaba has to work on. Mfundo is a class act. I think he can only grow as time goes by. I think he can grow, and the more he plays, the more he'll grow into the game. Because when I watched him the first times and things like that, he's someone that's able to read the game. He's someone that's able to play on the left-hand side. I think he can play as a 10 in the future, but he needs to work on his body as well. His running ability, his reading of the games. And I think all three of them, if they are really, really serious about playing at a higher level, then they've got to look at the young Yamal at Barcelona. He's 17, but he's doing things that's not normal.
Yeah.
Because at 17 and you can be compared to Lionel Messi, then you've got something else. So I'm saying is these kids or these young men have to look up to where the young players are coming from. And when you look into Europe now, there's more and more young players being put on the pitch. And they have to be able to say, yes, I'm ready for the young, for the pitch. Because they're only, they 18, I think Duba's 20, Shaba's 23, something like
22,
that.
22, yeah.
So they're ready for the pitch. I don't see, I don't call them youngsters. If like Yamal can play at Barcelona at the age of 16 and score for the national team at the age of 17, 16 plus, then they are ready. I don't see a difference. There's only four lines on the pitch.
Yeah.
And it's still 11v11 with a round ball. So all you have to do is put a little bit more effort into who you want to be as a football player. And you can reach unlimited heights, I think.
Oh, so you're saying Europe is definitely in the rounds of their career path?
If they work hard and they do what they are supposed to do and really push themselves beyond Kaizer Chiefs, I don't see why not. I don't see why not any footballer can do that.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, they've been performing well at under 20 level, and you know, they've been given a chance at that Kaizer Chiefs. So yeah, you'd like to think that that's a possibility. A player that is seemingly ready for Europe, and is regarded as one of the best in the world in his position is Ronwen Williams. You were fortunate enough to have a chance to work with him for quite a bit at SuperSport United. I mean, he's always been a good goalkeeper. But did you envisage him being able to reach the heights of being regarded as the ninth best goalkeeper in the world? He was just at the Yashin Trophy Award, and I was fortunate enough to be at AFCON to see his penalty saves and stuff. So yeah, he's becoming to a rocker player. But while you were with him at SuperSport, did you envisage this for him?
Look, I always think that going back, you got to give credit to the people who gave him the opportunity, who gave them the chance. Because when I went to SuperSport, I was at Ajax Cape Town. And Ajax Cape Town were the first people to bring in the Dutch into South Africa. And me knowing them before then, when we were at the School of Excellence, we knew what the development is all about. So what happened was Stan Matthews brought along Feyenoord. And they brought along a lot of their coaching staff. And I think Ronwen went through a nice development stage there. And that's why Ronwen doesn't get this from the street. And vision be told, all Dutch players or all goalkeepers from Holland are very, very comfortable with their feet. And Ronwen being amongst the likes of Kermit Erasmus and Kamohelo Mokocha, those guys, he automatically got good feet, and he's always had good feet. And that's the modern goalkeeper. And credit must go to Gavin for giving him his first game, I think at 17, in the PSL. So with that comes along a lot of experience and a lot of ability. And the goalkeeper coaches who handled him before my time at SuperSport have to be given credit. And I always saw him as someone who would go far. Where he's taking himself to now is very, very, very well done to Ronwen. And I applaud him for doing that. Is probably in the same breath as Munib Joseph when he was younger. But Ronwen's feet and his reading of the game and his managing of spaces and his demand or his command within his goalkeeping space when he's the last man at the back is just all positives now for Sundowns. But I'm very, very happy to see where he's gone to compete with the best goalkeeper in the world, and a gold medal goalkeeper in Martinez. You cannot ask for more.
Yeah, definitely. You see how he plays and how integral he is to the build-up of Sundowns, because when he's not there, it's like a totally different team. So, yeah.
Yeah, when he's not there, the last man is maybe cut to half man. Mm. You understand? But you got to give credit to Young or Dennis as well for helping him get to where he is now in the Sundowns team. And that just comes with a lot of games and a lot of good goalkeeping coaches who's helped him get along where he is.
For sure. No, that's brilliant to hear. Another person you were, you know, fortunate enough to see them. You've actually been at the genesis of a lot of people's careers. Another person, or rather a coach, is Rulani Mokoena. You were there together at Platinum Stars. while he was still a youth coach. But now he's gone on to coach in North Africa and with that the biggest club in Morocco, the most winningest club in Morocco. You were fortunate enough to be in Egypt, albeit not Morocco. But what do you he hasn't really had the best of start. He's struggled with for consistency, his team. What do you think of his start at Wydad? And if you were to give him some advice, having been so close to him, and I know he rates you in high regard, what would it be if you had to give him? So I don't know if you guys have spoken, but yeah, if you had to.
Before he left, yeah, we spoke a little bit. But it's different. The Moroccans and the Egyptians are two different nations.
Oh, is it?
Yes. The Egyptians are... I think they're more just Egyptians in Africa. Whereas the Moroccans, and sometimes I sometimes felt that they were Europeans that were left in Africa.
Okay.
And they had to speak Arabic. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a different kettle of fish completely, working in the two. But Morocco is more, I think it's more versatile than Egypt.
So as football is concerned?
As far as football is concerned.
Okay.
Because some of the best stars play overseas. Some of the best stars are not actually born in Morocco, like Yakim. Yakim is born in Madrid, Spain.
Yeah.
But he's got Moroccan parents, so he plays for Morocco. Hmm. So those are some of the dynamics that he had to go through, or that he had to find out by himself, because that is the one thing that he had to learn. But in saying that, yeah, we gave him, I think myself and Rulani went to a tournament in Germany with the under-19 tournament. We played against Thiago. We played there. I don't know if Messi was in the team, but we went. We played an under-20 tournament, if you remember, Supes. Platinum Stars.
Yes.
Won an award, and the prize was you were given an opportunity to play a tournament, and I found this tournament in Oberndorf. In Germany, and we went to play there, and we played against many of the top European teams, and Barcelona was also there.
Nice.
So, yeah, we didn't do too well, but in that tournament, he got the goalkeeper of the tournament. So, yeah. But since then, we've always stayed, and I've always he's always been very, very enthusiastic, very, very up that he wants to become a top coach. And he's always pushed himself to the limit as far as getting his coaching licenses and learning from different people. And I'm glad that he's able to listen still now. And wherever he's gone now, we wish him luck, because he's one of the next generation of coaches. He has to be. And he was very successful at Sundowns. And now at Wydad, yes, it will be difficult because those people are not too nice, especially with foreigners. They always want the foreigners to come running, you know what I'm saying? Mm. They think the foreigners are there with a magic wand. They rarely give you time to settle.
Yeah.
So you've got to learn that. And that's not something you can teach anybody.
Yeah. I mean, his current dream would probably be to win the league, because they're not in the Champions League. But speaking about the Champions League, you guys were fortunate enough to win it. I mean, you came to Al Ahly with Coach Pito, new assistant, and you know, Coach Pito wouldn't just bring anybody, so that just speaks to your yeah, how highly regards you and how talented you are as far as coaching is concerned. But what were you guys, because prior to you guys coming, it had been like 7-8 years since they had won the Champions League, but immediately upon your arrival, you guys had did it, and actually you won it twice. So what is it about the institution that was able to gel so well with you guys, as you know, coaches coming from South Africa, having been so successful in South Africa, that you are able to beat Zamalek and then beat Chiefs in the Champions League finals?
First foremost, you have to try and mention what Ali's like. Ali's an institution. They're not known as the club of the century for nothing. And they have very good people in the background who looks at I think they look at Africa with a very, very fine tooth comb. And they look at Egypt also to get the best talent. And they're not only a football club, they're a social club. So they have very good handball players, they have very good basketball players, they have very good tennis players. And I think even till now, they still regret the fact that Mo Salah was not able to come through their academy. Because Mo Salah traveled 4 hours in the morning to go to school and to go to training and things like that. But he never ended up at Ali. You understand what I'm saying? So for them, that's also still a sore point because they can't claim Mo Salah.
One of the greatest Egyptian players.
Yes, but they can claim Abu Dhaka. Yeah. They can claim, you know what I'm saying? Goma and Hussan, guys. Hussan, yeah. And they can claim all the guys that won the AFCONs and the CAFs. Yeah. And in all respect to coming back, you have to give credit to Mosimane as well. Because Pizzo did a good job when we were there. He really held the team going strong. Even though the team was strong, we were able to win the Champions League. And we came back and we beat Kaizer Chiefs for the next Champions League. Mm. So that is where you got to give credit to Pizzo and how we went about doing that and how the team was able to gel with him immediately. And that is something that I think, what Ali saw in Pizzo when Pizzo beat them 5-1 mm-hmm. with Sundowns. Mm. They never seen that before.
Yeah.
There was no African team that was able to beat them that much, and they were not able to come out. So automatically they went, and I think I say the words of Bibo, the president of Ali, where he said, "I went to South Africa and I picked a black diamond.
Yeah.
And I brought him to Egypt." You know what I'm saying? And we told Pizzo went on to win several trophies for them. Yeah, we all try and get the credit, but it's always the coach that gets the credit that you've done so and so. He's won the game. But in my analysis afterwards, I have to say that we had good Egyptian backroom staff that helped us in a lot of moments. Mm. And I think Pizzo will say that as well. We had a good sporting director, and we had a very good assistant. To me, which is Sami Kumsani, and I thought he helped us a lot in maintaining the good team that we had and just the greed, if I say greed, the greed of that particular breed, a group of players that wanted to win everything.
Mm.
And it all starts with one trophy.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? When you, it's like Sundowns now. When you have one trophy, always want more.
Yeah.
And all the rest of the team has to do is they just have to make sure they bring in the correct change of personnel. Yeah. The change is important.
Yeah.
Manchester City is going through that now.
Yeah.
What players do they bring in? What coach do they bring in? That change has to be the correct change.
Yeah.
And I think Ali have got it on a nice mentality. Sundowns have now got it on a nice mentality. And if they're able to maintain that, then you find yourself always in with a final and always able to win a trophy.
Oh, fantastic. You segue nicely into my next question, actually. You speak about Sundowns wanting to be better and getting more trophies. Ali is drawn against Orlando Pirates in the Champions League. Along with Sundowns, they're the two representatives of South Africa in the Champions League. How do you rate their chances in the Champions League this season, given that North Africa has been so dominant in the competition throughout its history and even now?
Al Ahly or Orlando Pirates?
No, Orlando Pirates and Sundowns. How do you rate the South Africans' chances in the Champions League?
I think Sundowns have a very good chance to go all the way. They've been dropping off and quarter semi-finals, they've been dropping off, but I think Manova, Steve, they have the appetite to put that trophy next to them.
Yeah.
And the team I see they have has also been exposed to a lot of continental football, a lot of cup competitions. Yes, how they rotate the team and how the team plays at home and how the team plays the cup fixtures. And now the team goes out and plays continental football. This is normal when you want to compete at all these levels. And your players now have to start thinking differently when they sleep, when they eat, when they train. Coach has to think differently. Who he trains, who he gives off, who he gives more recovery to. And this is the good thing that you can have if everything is put in place. And that's why you find a Pep Guardiola has 35 backroom staff people. And Sundowns, I noticed they have a big backroom staff as well. How everybody's watching these particular 32 players is very important to make sure that we're all on the same line in order to win the Champions League, in order to win the Carling Black Label, in order to win the league. That is what it is. I don't know if Pirates, because they haven't had continental football for a while now, they haven't played there for a while, but locally, I think Jose is doing a good job. His players look like they want to run for him, they want to work for him. Has he got a big enough squad? I don't know. Yeah, I haven't seen. There's been rotation because of injuries, but not big rotation. So it's going to be difficult for him to go onto the into the continent to play against the Yangas, the Simbas, the Al Ahlis, the Wydads. It's a different breed, because even when you look at, I think a few years ago, when you look at what Sundowns done, they went to Africa for their preseason, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Pirates went to Spain for the preseason. So in hindsight, what Sundowns are doing is saying, hey, we're going to be in Africa, so let's go to Africa for preseason and let's show the players where we're going to be. Because you're only there for the continental fixtures.
Yeah.
You don't go to Spain to play Al Ahly.
Yeah.
So I think it was Pizzo who done that with Sundowns. So those are good forward-thinking mentality. Expose these players to the harsh realities of sitting at the airport for 5 hours, for 8 hours, for 10 hours. Expose them to that, because it only happens in Africa. So expose them to that and make them aware of the continental football. Because, you know, the other part, the difficult part is also that Pirates also have 4 or 5 players in the Bafana team.
Yeah.
Sundowns have 6 or 7 players in the Bafana team. So all that has to be taken into consideration. And then your team has to be, we also expect as you know, supporters expect, you're playing Sundowns. The full team must play.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, speaking about Jose Rivera, I mean, he just won 7 games in a row in the league. You know, it's quite impressive. But, it's been a while since Orlando Pirates have done that. They haven't coached against him. What do you think some of the challenges that Ali might face against somebody like Jose Rivera in the Champions League?
It depends. It depends when they play.
Okay.
Where they play first. Do they play at Orlando first?
I think they play in Orlando first.
Yeah. Do they play at Orlando first, or do they play in Egypt first? For sure, the Egyptians will come here. Mm. And they'll probably camp at the Sheraton in Pretoria.
Pretoria, okay.
And they will train at
HPC.
Mm. That's what they like to do. But they'll come here preparing themselves to draw against Pirates. Mm. That's how they come. That's how they prepare. We have to prepare to go there and beat them, especially in Pretoria, because in Cairo, 60, 70,000 people, it's red, and they fight. They're going to fight all the way. And of course, when you go there, there's a long trip, there's this, they give you the best, they give you everything. That's the one thing about the Egyptians, the Moroccans, the Tunisians, they will give you a good home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They'll give you everything. But on the field, it becomes more.
Oh.
So Jose has to prepare for Orlando to win the game. And the people that go and watch the game don't have to worry about subs. They don't have to worry about the referee. All they have to do is support the team with as much noise as possible to push the players. He has the quality. They just have to, because we have a tendency of sometimes turning our backs
on the team, yeah.
On our players,
mm.
When we are playing foreigners.
Yeah.
So we need to support them do or die. Definitely. We need to push them. And that's what the third man, the 13th man is all about.
Is there a player that, you know, you rated highly and thought he'd, you know, reached the upper echelons of South African and continental and world football that didn't materialize the way you were, that it did? And if you're keen to disclose who they are or who they are.
During my time, I've had so many players. Sometimes I forget some of them because there's been so many. And fortunately, the two that I've been thinking about, they both passed on, which makes my heart very sore. The first one was Mfuneko Tangula.
Oh, really?
A lot of people don't know him, but he went to Amsterdam before Steven Pienaar went to Amsterdam.
Okay.
We took him there. He was a midfielder. I thought he was going to go many, many big places. Unfortunately, he passed on.
Sheesh.
But he was brilliant. He played for the under-17s. He was a very, very good player. He was a midfielder. Very, very good player. I thought he was going to go major. And then there was another one we had at Ajax Cape Town, which we thought was the next Mark Overmars.
Wow.
He was a fantastic, fantastic striker. He was a small guy. He had the stature. He had the build. He could use his left foot. He could use his right foot. He was really good. They called him Sechi. His name was Rashid.
Okay.
But he was fantastic. Honestly, he was... He played with Steven. He played with a lot of the guys. And I thought this kid will eat 10 million, 20 million mark soon. Because then we were really busy with Ajax Amsterdam. And he was about 20. So he was fairly old for them to take him on trial day. But they were looking at him all the time. He played in the PSL. He also passed on. I thought he was going to be good. I thought he was really going to be very good. He had everything.
Mm.
As a striker, he reminded me he was same height as Maradona.
Okay.
But he had the tenacity of a bull.
Yeah.
And he could use both feet. He could jump and stay in the air for longer than anybody.
Really?
Yeah. And he would score major goals.
Wow.
But not to be. Those are the two players I have in my head a lot of times, a lot of moments when I'm sitting. I always think what Funeko would be like now.
Mm.
And I always think what Sechi would be like now. Mm. There's many others, but they all still alive and they doing their thing, you know what I'm saying? And they okay in life.
Mm.
But those two, they passed on and I always have them in my head.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That Cape Town, Ajax Cape Town, Ajax Amsterdam partnership, it brought to fruition a lot of good careers.
And that was only through because of the School of Excellence.
Yeah. not doing good. well done. So I just wanted to touch obviously on your most recent job. A lot of people are interested about that still. You were coaching at Kaizer Chiefs. Obviously, you've had pretty good records at all your other clubs, but maybe Chiefs was maybe more lopsided on the losses side. I just wanted to find out, what did you learn about yourself as a coach and as a person having coached at Kaizer Chiefs, albeit for a few months?
Look, as a coach, I think. Initially, when you take over as an interim, you have to handle, I thought, and it's always nice to talk afterwards. I think I did not do a proper analysis of the team at the time. I think I should have gone in with a little bit of a better understanding of what quality we were going to work with. Because training and playing games are two different things. And sometimes as coaches, you must try and get them together as close as possible. Because then you'll be able to see the quality of the player you have. And fortunately, or unfortunately, at Kaizer Chiefs, the time we were there, the quality that was exposed on the training field and the quality that was exposed in an environment where you have 20,000 people screaming your name was not the same. And that's where I think I should have made better analysis of trying before I actually took the job. Or not took the job, before I was actually asked to help in this environment. And again, Kaizer Chiefs is a major, major institute. And all credit has to go to that chairman. All credit has to go to Dr. Matong because of what he has built and how he foresee where it is. Yeah. And again, for me, it's also about the next generation, of Chiefs, how you move those generations of players in the team and whether they're able to maintain what so-and-so done. For example, the big example I have is, you know, I worked at Sundowns.
Yes, 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 of course.
You know, we won the league with Sundowns.
Of course.
You know, at Sundowns, we had Surprise Muriri, we had Kofi Sapulo, we had Lerato Shabango, we had Ezra Miandoro, we had Michael Manzini, we had Brent Carlson, we had Dylan Shepherd. Those are all quality, quality names that when I mention them, you know they were at Sundowns. Now you have Zwane, Kekani, Makwena, Shaulile, Ribeiro. And when you look at the names and you put them together, then they're similar players. So the tradition of what Sundowns has been doing for the last 15, since Patrice owns, is the same. It hasn't changed. You get what I'm saying? Whereas now, and I look at it back and I'm saying, Dr. Kumalo, Chabo Pule,
Skara,
Katsende, Katsande, Thabo Moke, and you look at the new Kaizer Chiefs, we don't get that synergy. And like I said, it's easy to talk after. But that synergy that's there is not there anymore. Pirates has that synergy as well. And they've taken a time. When you look at Ruud Krol, what he had when he won the triple, and you look at the synergy going forward, and when they died, what happened? How did they build it again? And that synergy is there now. It's there again with the players. I don't talk about the coaches because the coaches, you have a different philosophy. Every coach has a different philosophy. But the game is still played 11v11. It's not played 11v15. And it's still played between four lines. Still with a round ball. So that hasn't changed. And for me, that is important to understand. And when you get to bigger teams, and the same happened with Al Ahly. When you look at Al Ahly, the players, and this was my one surprise that I had at Al Ahly, the current Olympic team goalkeeper is able to name the generation of 2002. Whereas my current Kaizer Chiefs players cannot name the team that Dr. Kumalo played for. I've just named you the team that I coached, that we coached at Sundowns. It was 2006, 2007. I've named you that team. You understand what I'm saying? And that is what I lost at Kaizer Chiefs. And that you can't buy. It's what the player comes with. And what he comes with to be at Kaizer Chiefs. He's got to know his forefathers. And I'm not saying forefathers as to literally. You've got to know who played before you in this position and what did they do? How did they do it? Why? Because there's some of the Kaizer Chiefs players of the past that played for Kaizer Chiefs for very, very, very long. Asim Tsulengu, Teenage Dalek, Dr. Kumalo, Raida Mofokeng, Tsima Pikia, they played for long. Jan Lishaba, they played for long. So you've got to get that synergy going right through your team. And yes, outside of that, the chairman has done fantastic.
I think that's a good note to leave the show on. Thank you so much for your insights. I really appreciate it, and for divulging so much, and for us to pick your brain the way we have. It's been a pleasure and an honor. Thank you guys for tuning in once again to the African Football Podcast. It's been a lovely chat talking to Coach Kevin Johnson, and hopefully, we'll have another African football legend soon enough so we can pick their brains. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, click on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we'll see you again soon.